A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging these arts organizations. Look at the impact of the economy, technology, and society on the arts, the importance of arts education, and how these organizations and ensembles are adjusting and innovating as they face the future. Today, we'll return to the topic of how orchestras are exploring other cultural traditions to plan their season programs. My guests will be John Forsythe, president of the Pacific Symphony in Orange County, California, which is giving a concert celebrating the Persian New Year of Nowruz. I'll also speak with Ali Reza Ardakhani, executive director of the Farhang Foundation, which is sponsoring that and other related events. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. Beethoven, women musical innovators, and closer ties to the community are among the highlights of next year's Philadelphia Orchestra season. The orchestra announced this past week that it will bring six women conductors to lead programs, including Maren Alsop, Karina Kanalakis, and Mirga Grazinta-Tila, and also perform works by 12 women composers, including its composer-in-residence, Gabriella Lena Frank. As part of the orchestra's celebration of Beethoven's 250th birthday, music director Yannick Nézet-Séguin will conduct a cycle of Beethoven symphonies, pairing them in concert with new works. And the season will also include Beethoven's five piano concertos and violin concerto. The orchestra has been bolstering its community programs, and as part of its #YourPhilOrc campaign, it will provide free tickets to teachers, administrators, and staff of the Philadelphia School District. Other highlights outlined in the 2019-2020 season announcement include a performance of John Adams' Scheherazade II, conducted by the composer, a symphonic staging of Strauss's Elektra, and a new film series presenting scores from Fantasia and American in Paris, and Up. More detail on the season can be found at philorc.org. Topping the list this year of People's Choice Awards are MacArthur Theater, Grounds for Sculpture, and the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra. In this year's round of awards, sponsored by Discover Jersey Arts, MacArthur was named Favorite Large Theater to See a Play, the NJSO was voted Favorite Symphony Orchestra, and Grounds for Sculpture received the nod in the Favorite Art Museum category. Other top institutions included New Jersey Performing Arts Center as Favorite Large Performing Arts Center, New Jersey Ballet as Favorite Ballet Company, and Opera Theater of Montclair as Favorite Opera Company. You can see a full list of winners at jerseyartspeopleschoice.com. And finally, the Westminster Choir College and broader choral world was saddened this week to learn of the passing of Joseph Flummerfelt, Emeritus Professor of Choral Conducting and its former artistic director. His storied career also included founding New York Choral Artists, where he also served as musical director, and 44 years of choral preparation with the New York Philharmonic. Flummerfelt was 82. In a tribute on its website, Westminster remembered him as a master teacher whose former students include Philadelphia Orchestra and Metropolitan Opera conductor Yannick Nézet-Séguin and Donald Nally, founder and artistic director of the Grammy-winning choir The Crossing and director of choral activities at Northwestern University. Flummerfelt also served as director of choral activities for the Spoleto USA Festival in Charleston, South Carolina for 37 years. The New York Times called Flummerfelt the best-known American choral conductor since Robert Shaw, his mentor, and one who played an often unseen role in preparing choruses to work with some of the top orchestras. Born in Vincennes, Indiana, he studied organ and church music at DePaul University and went on to study with Nadia Boulanger. Joe Miller, Westminster's director of choral activities, said that in addition to being a major force for choral music in the U.S., Flummerfelt also moved Westminster forward in terms of repertoire and imparted his passion and love for music to his students.
I think you can see a real love of people and the importance of building a community of people that were engaged in making art at the highest level. So there's kind of this deep passion that I think that he instilled in his students and certainly in our campus as well.
You can hear more of Miller's memories of Flummerfelt on the A Tempo page of our website at wwfm.org. A memorial service is planned for May 3rd in Indianapolis, and plans are also being discussed for a tribute in the Princeton area. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. Oh, my dear. weeks ago, we heard from some orchestras that are adding Asian or Lunar New Year concerts to their calendar of performances in an effort to reflect their diverse communities. The coming spring solstice on March 21st marks the new year for another cultural tradition, the celebration of Nowruz, observed in Iran and other neighboring regions, including Afghanistan and Central Asia. In addition to a variety of events across the U.S. featuring various aspects of Iranian and Persian music, dance, and other celebrations, the Pacific Symphony, based in Irvine, California, is performing a concert for Nowruz in what it hopes will become an annual tradition. The program includes a mix of Western classical music and traditional Persian performers and is supported in part by the Farhang Foundation, which is hosting a number of other related programs. I reached out to speak with John Forsythe, president of the symphony, who said the idea for a Nowruz concert grew out of an earlier program several years ago featuring a work about the festival by Richard Daniel Poor, which sparked interest in exploring other opportunities to expand the symphony's relationship with its audiences.
If you were to spend time in Orange County in March, specifically around March 21st, there are parks where one can wander and see literally thousands of family members picnicking together, celebrating this great tradition of Nowruz. And it's just something that touched me from the moment I moved to Orange County from the Midwest. I just thought, wow, this is completely different than anything I've ever experienced. So it had always been in the back of my mind, but it really couldn't come to fruition until we met an amazing volunteer who ended up joining our board, Anusha Squillon. She really challenged us to think about how the orchestra could engage and explain the beauty of the tradition of the Persian New Year, the Iranian New Year, how it's celebrated across nations, particularly after the fall of the Soviet Union. Nations outside of Iran started celebrating Nowruz. And it's just such a colorful, beautiful, heartwarming time for families. And the traditions are so unique and interesting that we thought, in addition to our celebration of the Lunar New Year, which we're now doing annually, we felt this was a wonderful addition to our artistic work and community engagement strategy.
So how did you go about designing the program for this upcoming concert?
Well, one of the things that we've really tried to do as an organization is to have a certain amount of porousness to allow people who are not on the artistic administration team to express their views and share their passion about their artistic vision. And Anusha and the Farhang Cultural Foundation, with which we are partnering, they offered insights that we hadn't considered. So Carl St. Clair is music director. He's a remarkably open person, and he's an amazing collaborator. So he says, look, I rely on the input of those who want to help us organize the most impactful concert. And it was with that artist recommendations were made. We decided to bring back artists with whom we had collaborated on the American Composers Festival, for example, Shardad Rouhani and, you know, members of what was called the Shams Ensemble. They're two brothers, the Poor Nazeri brothers who are coming. They were anchors, but it was really discussed that we needed someone who had incredible international prestige, and Homayoun Shajarian was the artist that really everybody felt would transform this event into something really significant for the community. And then the challenge, of course, was dealing with the travel waivers. You know, there is obviously travel bans, and that has taken a tremendous amount of effort. And I think cultural exchange is one way to bridge difference. And we're excited that these artists are coming and that we can celebrate our local communities with international flair.
What type of response have you gotten so far from the broader community?
Unbelievable. The event sold out. And we're desperately trying to make sure that everybody who has a ticket is going to come because we have so much demand. So we're thrilled about that. And we started something called the Cyrus Society, reflecting on the desire to sustain this kind of engagement over years to come. So people have stepped up with donations to help fund the concert, because pretty much every concert we put on, no matter how many tickets we sell, tends to require philanthropic underwriting. So the Cyrus Society, Anusha and Alan, as lead donors, are helping to ensure that we at least break even on the project. So that's happened. We feel great. We've met our goals on fundraising, and we don't have a ticket left. So I think it's been incredible. I wish we had a bigger hall for this one event, but it's also nice to know that if we do it in the future, there will be people who will come forward and support this kind of activity.
Well, you mentioned working with Farhang. What are some ways that you've worked with them, and what other future possibilities do you see in collaboration with them?
Well, number one, they are really the most significant cultural organization when it comes to Iranian culture, and they have great expertise. So I think invariably the next step, now that we are feeling some level of success, and hopefully the concert will just be a smash, then I think it's a question of what are some additional, maybe smaller scale activities? How do we continue the educational process? What can we do to support their mission? Because ultimately, we don't want to replicate effort when there's such a strong organization. I mean, they've done incredible work at UCLA. They have a huge festival. They're doing art exhibits, film festivals. It's tremendous. So we simply want to be supportive and at the same time see if there are other musical collaborations, chamber music events, say cross-cultural chamber music partnerships that could, in fact, expand the footprint. But we want to get through this concert and make sure that it fulfills everybody's expectations.
Well, you mentioned the Lunar New Year concerts. Tell us a bit about yours, and also what are some of the other cultural groups and events that you're looking to bring in order to continue to expand what you can bring to diverse audiences?
Again, I think in keeping with a certain organizational philosophy, our Lunar New Year event has an enormous footprint. It started about 5 years ago with a partnership at the South Coast Chinese Cultural Center and the Irvine Chinese School, which exist under the same roof but are different institutions. And with them, we have reached out to partner during the concert with hundreds of young performers and actually adult performers, too, that are mostly amateurs. So, for example, we have a chorus, the Feel Young Chorus, combined with our professional Pacific Chorale. We had dancers from the Ya Ya Zhang Dance Academy. We had a whole group of string players from our neighbors in our building, the Orange County Music and Dance, all performing and celebrating the Lunar New Year at this concert that was orchestrated and organized by the Pacific Symphony production and artistic team. That then led a couple weeks later to a Lantern Festival, which we had, which is a free event all day. About 10,000 people registered for it, and thousands of people came, and it was an all-day multi-venue showcase of primarily local talent, and not just Chinese, but also the traditions that celebrate Lunar New Year. So the Vietnamese community, which is very prominent and large in Orange County, and the Korean community. What we're learning is that as we reach out, as we invite people to enjoy the facilities, to work with an orchestra, to observe cross-culturally, is that there are other nonprofits that we didn't know about, that we begin to work with more regularly. We find volunteers that are getting more excited. We're bringing food. We had a banh mi food making station. We had Vietnamese clothing modeling and photography. I mean, it was really, the Lantern Festival was just something I'm so proud of, and it took place on the same day as our major fundraising event, which just showed the horsepower of the Pacific Symphony staff and volunteers. It just couldn't have been a more amazing day. Then increasingly, we're looking at how we can serve the Latinx community of Orange County, and that's such a diverse community as well, so many different cultural streams. Obviously, Mexican Americans being the largest, but there's, you know, very significant communities. They all have their own traditions. And so we have to stage this over time. We have to build financial and administrative capacity to do this kind of engagement. And it's something we've learned that you have to do holistically. You have to start with sort of clear goal setting that emanates from listening a lot, you know, sitting and talking and hearing about the needs and interests of the community organizations with which you partner in. And invariably, there's a lot of anxiety when we talk to them because we're a very large organization. Are they going to cannibalize resource? How are they going to claim credit? How is branding shared? I mean, it's all the natural concerns that smaller nonprofits might have in working with a larger one. So we're really, really careful that, you know, our goals can overlap. And ultimately, we really find that the thing that isn't often talked about is just how the Western classical music tradition benefits from the infusion of other traditions. You know, how we're really kind of a blank canvas on which composers from different societies, cultures can paint with their own palette. So Shardad Rohani has the difficult task of determining how to wed a Western symphony orchestra with the unique complexity of that Persian music tradition. I mean, unbelievably complex and classical. It's thrilling. I think the musicians are challenged by it. Carl's challenged by it. And we're reliant on these other artists to help us be better. I think at the end of the day, as our community evolves, as the makeup changes, as generations pass, it's incumbent on orchestras to remain as open and flexible and responsive to the community that it is serving. And the best way to do that is to ask a lot of questions, remain open and curious, and gradually try to convince partners to work with you in a very authentic and transparent way. If you do not have the partnerships, if you do not have the trust, it's very, very difficult to do this work. And I think ultimately orchestras have to remain humble and cognizant of the fact that the Western classical music tradition, while incredible and an incredible resource, is one of many great classical traditions around the world. And there's opportunities for fusion and exploring that really are exciting artistically. What is wonderful about Nowruz is that it's cross religious boundaries, it's cross national boundaries. It's a joyous celebration. And I like finding platforms where people who may have different cultural or religious traditions can find commonality in a space that is welcoming. And orchestras can play that role for sure.
That was John Forsythe, president of Orange County, California's Pacific Symphony. Its Nowruz concert will take place Sunday, March 24th at 7 p.m. at the Renee and Henry Segerstrom Concert Hall in Costa Mesa, California. More information is available at pacificsymphony.org. The concert is sponsored by the Farhang Foundation, a Los Angeles-based organization that promotes Iranian and Persian art and culture. The group is also hosting a Nowruz celebration March 10th in Los Angeles that includes a variety of cultural events and an evening concert at UCLA's Royce Hall featuring the singer Parisa, considered the grand dame of Iranian classical music. Alireza Ardakhani is Farhang's executive director, and I asked him about the concerts and how the celebrations reflect some of the traditional customs associated with Nowruz.
Nowruz is literally translates to New Day in Persian language, and it is the celebration of the spring solstice, which in the Iranian calendar is the first day of the new year. And it's been celebrated for thousands of years. I think it goes back to at least 25 or 3,000 years. And it's celebrated not only in Iran, but in a lot of the regions nearby, such as Tajikistan, Afghanistan, even parts of China and surrounding countries. And it is basically a non-religious holiday. It has no connections to any particular culture. It is just a celebration of spring, rebirth, and celebration of nature.
And what are some of the traditions that are associated with it, either, you know, within particular, some of these particular cultures, or cross-culturally?
Traditionally, families gather around on the first day of spring around what we call a hafteen table, which translates to the seven S's. And it's I always explain it as our version of a Christmas tree. It's a symbolic table set where people gather around with the different symbolic elements that all have symbolic meanings. And these include wheatgrass, and gold coins, and goldfish, and painted eggs, and, you know, everything has a symbolic symbol, such as fertility, prosperity, health, and that's where people gather around. They exchange gifts, or typically they exchange money as gifts, similar to Chinese New Year, and have special food, eat sweets, and visit family members. They start with the elders, and then they go down the line. So people go to each other's homes and visit and spend quality time together.
Now, Farhang is sponsoring a number of programs coming up. There's one in Los Angeles featuring the singer Parisa. What is her background, and what will she bring to this celebration?
We've been celebrating Nowruz for the last 11 years in Los Angeles. Our organization is 11 years old, and the original idea was that Nowruz was the best event to celebrate with the entire community, because Farhang Foundation's mission is to promote Iranian art and culture to the community at large, not just to Iranians. And since this holiday is something that everyone can celebrate, we thought it would be a great opportunity to present it to the entire community. And it's become a huge event for us. Last year, we had over 20,000 people attend our festival, which now takes place on the campus of UCLA. It's a whole day of activities for the entire family throughout the day. And it always ends with a big concert at Royce Hall, which this year, as you mentioned, we're very excited to have the legendary grand dame of Iranian classical music, Parisa, performing as our headliner. She usually resides in Iran, and we are very lucky to have her be here and accept our invitation to perform this year. She is by far the most prominent female classical singer of Iranian music in the last 50 years. She's very highly praised and treasured as one of our Iranian treasures. Unfortunately, since the 1979 revolution, she has been forbidden to sing in her own country, in Iran. So right now, in the past 40 years, she's been only teaching in Iran and only performing outside of Iran. And when she performs, it's a very rare occasion. So it's a very unique and special day for Iranians everywhere that she's going to be performing this year for us. And she brings her classic repertoire, which uses exclusively classical Iranian instruments. And the music is basically, most of it based on classic poetry of Hafez and Maulana or Rumi. And she gets her inspiration from all the great poets of Iran.
What other elements of Iranian culture and Persian culture will the celebration include as well?
Throughout the day, we always create a huge grand hafteen, which I already explained, that where everybody comes and takes pictures with it, and it's really festive. And every year we have a new design that gets unveiled. We have live performances of classic Persian dance, classic Persian music throughout the day in the outdoor area, including a puppet show for children, children's activities, arts and crafts. And this year, the UCLA Marching Band is joining us, because every year we have a fabulous, what we call a spring walk, where people come dressed up in their favorite traditional or ethnic outfit or colorful outfit, and we all walk throughout the campus of UCLA. And this year, the UCLA Marching Band is going to lead this parade, where we spread cheer and joy and announce the arrival of spring and Nowruz to everyone at UCLA.
There is also going to be a concert with the Pacific Symphony later in the month. What in particular was so important about being able to collaborate with a more traditional Western-style classical music ensemble like that?
The Farhang Foundation is always collaborating with major cultural and academic institutions in Southern California. And, of course, Pacific Symphony is one of the great organizations that we have here. And we really believe in what they do. And we also have worked with them in the past. 7 years ago, they did another concert in collaboration with us, for Nowruz. And this year, we thought it was time to do another concert. And we're hoping to make this a regular annual event in collaboration with them. And I think it's a great combination of bringing the West and the East together to celebrate Iranian culture and Iranian music. And we're very proud of this concert, because one of the premier vocalists of the current generation will be performing. Again, it's a very rare occasion. Humayun Shajarian, who is very highly prized and has tremendous amounts of fans all over the world. So he will be performing. We will have two very talented classical musicians, brother, Tahmuresh and Sohrab Purnazeri, who typically perform with Homayun Shajarian together. They're really known as a dynamic trio. And we're very delighted to also have a guest conductor, Shahzad Rohani from the Tehran Philharmonic, who will also be our guest conductor that evening, along with, of course, the symphony's own Carl St. Clair. So it's great collaboration of teamwork with all these fantastic artists, and I'm sure it's going to be a remarkable and unforgettable evening for everyone who attends on March 24th.
Another example of that type of collaboration is a program that's now being sponsored at UCLA's Herb Alpert School of Music, and that's specifically, again, Iranian music. What are the goals of that particular program?
We established that program actually, we signed the contract with UCLA last year in 2018, where it became the first ever Iranian music degree program in the world. So we're very proud of it. It's a groundbreaking program that has never been initiated anywhere else. And we wanted to create a long-lasting program in a major university where Iranian music, specifically classical Iranian music, can be studied and learned and appreciated and researched. The fantastic thing is that students have been enrolled already starting this fall in the program, and many people are surprised to learn that the majority of students in the program are non-Iranian. So it shows how much interest there is in Iranian music, which is, I would say, not as well known throughout the world as probably some other cultural music styles. And there's a lot of interest in it and a lot of students who are not Iranian who are participating in it. And this exactly meets our mission at Farhang Foundation to provide a spotlight on Iranian art and culture for non-Iranians.
That was Ali Reza Ardakhani, Executive Director of the Farhang Foundation in Los Angeles. Its Nowruz celebration, including the Parisa concert, will take place Sunday, March 10th on the campus of UCLA. You can find out more information on Nowruz and other events at farhang.org. I hope you enjoy these conversations that I bring you each week on La Tempo, focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges in the arts world. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for your support of the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.